The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In my final semester of seminary, I took moral theology. My degree required this class. To pass, we were required to memorize 4 not insubstantial passages of Scripture, one from each of the Gospels. Today's Gospel is the Luke passage I was required to memorize. Now, being a longtime Episcopalian, I was not in the habit of memorizing Scripture. The only time I'd ever been asked to do anything like that was when I went to an after-school care program at the local Baptist church. Oh, sure, I knew some passages of Scripture by heart, those which have been beautifully and seamlessly woven into our liturgy in the pages of our Book of Common Prayer. But as a nearly done seminarian, I bristled at this assignment. It is a class in moral theology, not a scripture class, I complained to anyone who would listen. I expected that we would debate significant moral dilemmas of our day, and I'd finish the course with clearer ideas about right and wrong. I'd already taken my Bible classes. Our professor explained neither the requirement nor his selections. It felt meaningless to me, and I knew as long as it did, I would struggle. And so I investigated and came to, for each of the passages, at least an explanation that made sense to me. Here's what I learned about this passage. It serves as Luke's thesis statement for both his gospel and his sequel, the Acts of the Apostles. Fred Craddock, one of the great preachers of our time, says, "This event described in our passage today announces who Jesus is, of what his ministry consists, and what his church will be and do." And so, given that we will be inhabiting Luke's gospel for the better part of this lectionary year, let's look closely to see what Luke has to say about Jesus' mission, and by extension, our mission as the church. Today's passage, if you opened up your Bible to read it, actually begins, "Then Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee." Our lectionary leaves out the word "then," which drives me crazy. It's like the lectionary editors wonder if we start a passage in the middle of something with the word "then," we might all be sitting here wondering what came before, which is precisely the point. The word "then" at the beginning of our reading today tells us that what Luke is about to tell us is sequentially, theologically connected to what he's just told us. Two events are really important to understanding the passage before us today: Jesus' baptism and his temptation in the wilderness. Both of these events are connected to the passage before us by the presence and activity of the Holy Spirit. At his baptism, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus, who then, filled with the Holy Spirit, is led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he is tempted. That's where we pick up today. Then Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returns to Galilee. And standing in the synagogue in his hometown, he reads this passage from Isaiah and declares its fulfillment. In so doing, Jesus announces that he has come to liberate the marginalized, to turn the structures of oppression upside down. We've already heard some about God's upside down kingdom in our reading of Luke this year. in the words of Mary's Magnificat that we read during Advent. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Now, all this talk of turning the world upside down can be tough on those of us who aren't truly among the marginalized. Look, if Jesus really intends that those who are rich would go away hungry and those who are hungry would be filled, I'm either going to lose a lot of weight or I'm really in trouble. I have a hard time listening when Jesus declares that Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in him. And yet I am called to hear, even, especially, when Jesus says things I don't want to hear and describes a kingdom which doesn't look like it's very much intended for the likes of me. Now, I don't think we're meant to dwell on the notion that the kingdom of God is only for those who are marginalized in some way. And I think that because Jesus omits something really important from his reading from Isaiah's scroll. Isaiah writes, "I've come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." Jesus doesn't say that part. It seems to me what Jesus wants us to hear is the promise of transformed life he offers to all. He wants us to put ourselves into the shoes of those who desperately need to hear the promise of good news. The poor, those who are captives, those who are blind, those who are oppressed. Think of the reading that he made that day in the synagogue and how it would ring in their ears. Think of the desperation with which some people need this message today. Take that desperation. Apply the joy of the promise being fulfilled that one standing in those shoes would hear. And I think we have something about our mission as the body of Christ. Jesus stands in the synagogue and announces that through him, the promised liberating work of the Spirit is present. Over and over in his gospel, Luke will show us how this is true. Over and over in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke will show us that through the apostles and through the church, the promised liberating work of the Spirit continues to be present among the people of God. And our role is to continue to work in that tradition, to ensure that the promised liberating work of the Spirit is present through us. Last weekend, we gathered together here in this place and experienced the sort of joy that comes when the liberating work of God's Spirit is present. Our long history of working to ensure that all means all, that all marriages will be celebrated and blessed in God's church, is an example of what it looks like when God's promise to the marginalized is fulfilled in our hearing. Lest we think that now that we've accomplished that, our work is done, let me be clear. Last weekend was just another step in the process here as a congregation of making the liberating work of Jesus present in our community. Once I realized that this passage from Luke so beautifully reveals who Jesus is, of what his ministry consists, and what his church will do, my objections to that assignment in moral theology disappeared. I wasn't being asked to memorize scripture as busy work. I was being asked to internalize the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you to do something that is very un-Episcopalian. I'm going to ask you to please take your bulletin home and internalize the good news of Jesus Christ yourselves. Because you see, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Because He has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So would all God's people say, Amen.